The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I want to read several verses from the Gospel according to John chapter 5. That's the Gospel according to John chapter 5. I'll begin in verse 39 and read to the end of the chapter. Verse 39 begins this way, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" That's the Gospel according to John, chapter 5, verses 39 through 47. There is a hideous monster which has taken up residence in professed Christianity. That monster has been sadly invited to sit upon the very throne of the hearts and minds of the majority of professed Christianity. I say professed Christianity, not necessarily true Christianity, but I say professed Christianity because true Christianity, that is, that religion that has Christ as its center, that religion that seeks Christ, that believes Christ, that follows Christ, that trusts Christ, that worships Christ. True Christianity finds its warp and its woof in the truth of God. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. He said, But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Do you see that? And belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. That is to believe the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So true Christianity finds its center, it's whole in the truth of God, in the truth of God concerning Christ. And according to the Apostle John clearly wrote in 1 John chapter 2 that no lies of the truth, no lies of the truth. 1 John chapter 2, he says in verse 21, he says, "I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it." That is, you know the truth. And then listen to these last few words. "And that no lie is of the truth." Now I'm still talking about that hideous monster that's taken up its residence in this professed Christianity, that monster that's been invited by men into the hearts and minds of the majority of professed Christians. And this hideous monster is a lie against God. It's a lie against the truth of God. And Revelation, again, the Apostle John, in speaking of that celestial city, when the old heavens and the old earth have passed away, and John sees this, the new heavens and the new earth, and this city coming down from God out of heaven, John writes in John 21 and verse 27 of that city, he says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." No lie will enter into that. And then again, John goes on in chapter 22, and he says in verse 14 and 15, "Blessed are they that do his commandments," that is to do Christ's commandments, "that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You see, fallen, corrupt man not only lies on God, not only is his nature bent toward lies, but he loves and makes a lie. So again, I say that this hideous monster has taken up residence in professed Christianity, because true Christianity finds the truth to be a delight and a joy. They worship God in spirit and in truth. And what is this monster's name? What is this hideous monster's name of which I speak this morning? I want to reveal that hideous monster's name. That hideous monster's name is called free will. That's the hideous monster I'm talking about. The hideous monster of free will has taken up residence in professed Christianity. It seems to be the answer to all the deep things of God, according to modern so-called Christian religion. They always tout free will. Now, before I go into the passage, my text this morning, the gospel according to John chapter 5, verses 39 through 47, let me make something perfectly clear. There is free will, that is one word, and there is free will, that is two different separate words. The first word, that is free will, that's one word, is so translated, free will, in the King James Version of the Bible, and it means voluntary. That's what the word means. It's that simple. The word that is translated free will, and it's written as one word, means voluntary. That means it's not compulsory. It's not commanded. It is often used, and the majority of places that it's used, it has to do with a free will offering. It has to do with an offering that wasn't compulsory, an offering that wasn't commanded. It was an offering that a person could give of their own volition. It was voluntary, in other words. But then there is this other free will, that is two words, free will, separate words, free will. This second is a doctrine, and I'll say a false doctrine, a blasphemous doctrine, a hideous monster, as I've said before. This second is a doctrine that teaches that when Adam fell, his will did not fall with his other faculties. That is, you know, man is made up of intellect, and he's made up of his emotion, his affection, and his will. He's made up of at least these three principal things. And this doctrine of so-called free will teaches that when Adam fell in the garden, and thus his posterity fail in him, that the will of man did not fall with his other faculties, with his other properties. Some even go so far as to, when they speak about free will, that's the two words, that is that man's will is actually free, that man's will did not fall with the rest of himself when Adam fell in the garden. They often spell the word free will, one word, rather than free will as two words, because they know that free will, the one word, is found in the Bible. And thus they think they find credence to their so-called doctrine of free will. But that is trickery. That is trickery. These two things are absolutely and completely separate. Now, let me make this clear from God's own word. The passage that I read to you is none other than the words of God manifest in the flesh. And God manifest in the flesh made it clear. Right here in our text, and let me just show you a couple things that he made clear. First of all, Bible consultation, that is Bible reading, that is studying the Bible, that is searching out the scriptures and reading, having daily readings and chapters and verses and all of these things. Bible consultation is not enough, especially when the consultation of the scriptures, when the searching of the scriptures misses the crux of the Bible. According to our Lord Jesus Christ, in this very passage, he himself, Christ, not man's will, is the crux of the scripture. Do you see it? Verse 39, do you hear the words, search the scriptures? For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The scriptures are all about Christ. In Hebrews, and which is a quote from the Old Testament, it says in the volume of the book, in all of the book, it is written of me. And Christ goes on here in our text for this morning in verse 43. He says, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another come in his own name, him ye will receive. So you see that? I'm come in my Father's name. Now, you will not come to me, but you will receive someone other than me. Do you see the two parts to man's fallen will, to the truth of man's will? And Christ is the center of the Scripture. Christ is the center of our passage here. He's the center of the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Of course, again in verse 45, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? So, is it true? Is it really true that some people study the Bible and still miss Christ? Yes, all the time. All the time. Sad to say, but true that no doubt thousands read constantly, daily. They read daily devotionals. They may read several chapters of a day of the Bible and read through the Bible within a year and all of these such things. And yet they miss the whole crux of the Scriptures. They miss Jesus Christ, and they do it all the time. But our Lord Jesus Christ here gives us the reason why this is true. He states it plainly that man has a multifaceted problem. Do you hear what I say? Man has a multifaceted problem. Man's problem doesn't have to do with just one of his faculties. It doesn't have to do with just one of the parts of his being. It doesn't have to do with just one of his inner properties. It's not just the heart that's bad, but the will's okay. It's not just that his affection's bad, but his heart's okay. It's not that his will's bad, but his heart and his affections are okay. Listen to what the Lord of glory, listen to what God manifest in the flesh made plain here. He says, five things. Man has a multifaceted problem, and I'm going to give you five things from our Lord's words right here. First of all, man's problem is a lack of life. Now, of course, that's spiritual life. It's not physical life. These people to whom Christ spoke were living, physically alive, but they did not have spiritual life. He said, and ye will not come unto me, that ye might have life. So the whole implication in verse 40 is that they do not have life. This spiritual ability, this spiritual life principle, this spiritual inner gift of God, they didn't have it. You will not come to me that you might have life. That's man's first problem. Man's first problem is he's dead in trespasses and his sins. When Adam fell in the garden, he died in the garden. Yes, he died physically many years later, but when Adam sinned against God in that garden, he died in that garden. And when Adam died in that garden, spiritually, then all of Adam's posterity died with him. That is what many of the old ancient writers used to call original sin. And it's true that when Adam fell, he fell. And he has no life. He is dead in trespasses and sins. But secondly, according to our Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, God Almighty, truth incarnate, he said that man's other problem is a lack of life, of course, but he also said it's a perverse will. Do you see it? A perverse will. And ye will not come to me. Do you see it? And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. That's in verse 40. But then, of course, that's the what we might say the negative side of this negative condition of man. But then look at the other. Verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. So man's will is corrupt. It's perverse. He will not come to Christ, but he will receive an imposter. Do you see the corruption of the human will? So here's this multifaceted problem of human nature. The multifaceted problem of all of Adam's posterity. That's me. That's you. It's a lack of life, lack of spiritual life. It's a perverse will, but it's also a lack of affection for God. But look at what he says. But verse 42, but I know you that ye have not the love of God. He said, you have not the love of God in you. So there's three things. Here's three parts of man's corruption, man's multifaceted problem. He doesn't have life. He has a perverse will. And he has a lack of affection for God. You don't have the love of God in you. That's in verse 42. Now here's number four. It, according to our Lord, according to truth incarnate, he said one of another part of man's problem, this multifaceted problem is this. It's an inability to believe. Do you see it? Verse 44. Look at it if you have your Bibles. John chapter 5, verse 44. How can ye believe? You see the implication? How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? So far our Lord said what? Man's problem is this. It's a lack of spiritual life. Man has a perverse will. Man has a lack of affection for God. He doesn't love God by nature. And man has an inability to believe. How can you believe? But number five, we see that the last part, this fifth part here of man's multifaceted problem is this. It's a perverted intellect. That is, man, by the fall of Adam, has a perverted intellect, that is a perverted understanding, which motivates perverted goals. Look at what he says. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seeketh not the honor that cometh from God only? So here, truth incarnate has made it very plain, without any question, without debate. Now, I'm not going to debate these things with anyone. I'm here to proclaim the truth of God as it is in Christ Jesus, and that's the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ, and the truth of mine and your spiritual condition. And here's our problem. It's a lack of spiritual life. Our problem is that we have a perverse will. Our problem is that it's a lack of affection for God. We don't love God by nature. It's our problem is an inability to believe God. And our problem is it's we have a perverted intellect, a perverted understanding. Here, in this brief but stinging judgment, the eternal God made flesh has condemned not only man's natural, fallen Adamic intellect, not only has he condemned man's fallen natural affections, not only has the Lord of glory, truth incarnate, condemned man's fallen natural Adamic motives and goals, but he included in this very stinging rebuke, he included man's fallen, Adamic, depraved, corrupt will as equally as perverted as all the rest of man's other faculties. This is the truth of Christ. This is not even Christ's explanation of some other passage of Scripture. These are words that flow from the very heart and mind of God Almighty, God manifest in the flesh, about mine and your spiritual condition by nature, that is, as the sons and daughters of Adam. That hideous monster called free will. Remember the two words, free will, that man's will did not fall like his other faculties when Adam fell. That perverted doctrine, that hideous monster, man's will, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, is not free. Think about this. Man's will is in the same bondage as all of man's fallen properties. That's what our Lord says right here. You will not come to me, but someone that comes in his own name, someone other than Christ himself, him ye will receive. Do you see the perversion of our will by nature? Do you see the corruption of even our will by nature? Men propose that man's will is a gift of God, and they term it free will to appeal to man's pride. They say these exact words, God has given you a free will. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is it the gift of God that men will not come to Christ? Think about that statement. Is it the gift of God that men will not come to Christ? Is it the gift of God that men will receive another who comes in his own name rather than receiving Christ? Now, men say you have a free will. They don't say you got two wheels or three wheels or four wheels. You say you got one wheel, and that wheel is free. That's the doctrine. Free will, two words, not free will, the one word, not voluntary, but free will, two words, that your will is free. Your will did not fall with the rest of your faculties. It's not the gift of God that men will not receive Christ. It's not the gift of God that men will receive an imposter. Yet Christ said this is what man's will does. It is the height of rebellion to tell a man or a woman who does not love Christ that they are free to will to come to Christ and yet not love Christ. That's the height of rebellion. It's the height of folly. It's the height of deceptive, heretical preachers. In other words, the will is not free to act independent of all of man's other faculties. Men taught, they build up, they cry up man's free will as free to come to Christ. But that same will, they acknowledge, sends some men to eternal ruin. Is that God's gift? Is that freedom? And yet even those who propose free will as a reality, those who propose free will to be, in fact, the very truth of God, will say that this very same will that is free sends some men to eternal ruin, and that that will is the gift of God. So what they are in essence saying is that when men perish under eternal ruin, they do so by the gift of God, which they call free will. So again I say, is it any wonder that I call it a hideous monster? Is it any wonder that I call it a heresy? Is it any wonder that we call it, as some of the apostles would use a term concerning many other false doctrines, even damnable heresies? No, free will is a lie. Free will is not so. There is no such thing as free will. Man has a will, but he will not come to Christ. Man has a will, but he will receive an imposter rather than receiving Jesus Christ. No, the Lord of glory, truth incarnate, has taught that the very thing men taught as the reason you can come, the Lord of glory himself says that is one of the many things that keep men from coming to him. And it is the very cause, that is, man's will is the very cause as to why he receives imposters rather than receiving the true and living God, Jesus Christ, manifest in the flesh. You see, my friend, my fellow human being, my fellow son or daughter of Adam, my will, your will, it is not a free will. The hideous monster called free will is so hideous because it taunts man's will as superior to God's will, and that is the definition of blasphemy. Now, I have a lengthy passage. My time's running out, but listen to these words, Romans chapter 9, and I'm going to read several verses. Verse 9 of Romans 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not. What's the it is not? The purpose of God, the election of God, the calling of God. It's not of him that willeth. Now do you see it? Do you hear these words? These are the words of God. So then it, all of salvation, from beginning to end, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, that means to endure or continue on. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? Why does God yet find fault? That's what he's asking. For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles? Do you see here? It is absolutely clear from the clear testimony of Scripture, even translated in this King James Version into our own English, God's will is superior to man's will. And not only is God's will superior to man's will, but when it comes to God's mercy, when it comes to God's compassion, when it comes to God's election, when it comes to God's calling, when it comes to salvation, it is not of him that willeth, the man that willeth, or of the man that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. May it be that this day, may it be that this very day, that God Almighty in his sovereign power will nail the hide of that hideous monster called free will. May God nail it to the wall and enthrone himself, enthrone his very self and his very will into the heart and mind of some soul. I know that those whom he set his love on in eternity, he will do that. Therein alone is freedom.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.